supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the Best of the Names, in the name of Allah, Lord of Earth and Heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about telling lies.
There's no more hunger, no need for shelter. Isn't there enough to share? Or is it that we just don't care? We're here for a day or two. demiş olmam. Selamu aleyk, selamu aleyk, selamu aleyk.
But first, what date is today? Today, Monday, is the 13th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter Hujurat, verse 15.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون.
The believers are only the ones who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, and then doubt not, but strive with their properties and their lives in the cause of Allah. It is those who are the truthful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Faith is something in war that may be recognized through practice and without struggling in the cause of Allah is nothing more than empty words. Since attainment to faith is not so facile, the verse treats of its tokens distinguishing believers from Muslims, the sincere from lying, and those who answer to the Prophet's call from those who pretended belief in order to achieve worldly positions, saying that true believers are solely those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, and entertain no doubt but struggle with their lives and possessions in the cause of Allah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
We're speaking about telling lies. Telling lies is worse than other sins, and it is more harmful than the others are. Imam Baghir has been reported as saying, God Almighty has made locks for evil and has made the drinking of wine as the keys to those locks. Telling lies is worse than the drinking of wine. Commenting on this tradition, the late Allama Majlisi says, wine here means all the intoxicants, and locks here mean all that which prevents us from committing evils. Drinking wine makes intellect and thinking perish. What is the worse than the drinking of wine is to tell lies about Allah and about His proofs, authorities, which is equal to disbelief. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, narrated that Jesus Christ, Prophet Isa, said, whoever tells many lies shall lose his worth and dignity.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the abominable consequences of telling lies in Islam. And now we find that those people who have developed in themselves the habit of telling lies, there are barely or scarcely relied, and they experience the point that they understand that people, I mean the addressees, seldom rely on them. There are certain Quranic verses on the abominable character of telling lies and the lies. And we find that according to the Holy Quran, in some cases, telling lies is like ascribing a false statement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this indicates that those people who ascribe who attribute false statements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't believe in the Islamic religion. When telling lies is equal to and not believing in the Islamic religion, not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it must be avoided. I mean, this experience should be strictly avoided. Then we find that telling lies is the key of all, the key to all vices and all sins, because according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, الصدق يهدي إلى البر والبر يهدي إلى الجنة. Being truthful or truthfulness leads to doing good, and doing good leads to the paradise.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
As usual, in the new series of today's special, we give you tips to break a lying habit. Ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? Remember, honesty is the best policy. Lying or omitting the truth really doesn't help anyone, including yourself. If you lie because you think the truth will upset someone or cause harm, ask yourself what the worst outcome would be if you decide to tell the truth. Chances are it's not as bad as you think. Imagine that you have a brother who really wants you to help with his nephew's startup idea. You aren't feeling it and keep putting him off. Eventually, he might give up on the whole idea because he can't do it alone. If you told him the truth, the worst case scenario would likely be that he gets upset at first, but after that initial reaction, he might seek out a partner who is completely on board. This will only help him in the long run. Hypocrites are liars too, because they lie to themselves. Allah says about them in chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse 10, in their hearts is disease, so Allah has increased their disease, and for them is a painful punishment, because they habitually used to lie. Allah also addressed His Messenger Muhammad, saying, Allah knows that you are His messenger, and Allah testifies that the hypocrites are liars. Holy Quran, chapter 63, verse 1. Dear friend, people sometimes lie to themselves or others out of a need to see themselves positively. These efforts are sometimes successful, as people often experience greater positive emotions when exaggerating their intelligence or skill to themselves or others.
How can people know if you're lying or not? They'll ask you a question. You can say whatever you want. No, something happens in the body. Something happens in your blood pressure and the flow of blood. This device can detect whether you're telling the truth or you're lying. Because something happens in your body, unnatural, it's an unnatural feeling. They can detect whether you're telling the truth or you're lying. This is proof that lying is unnatural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't put it in our system. Why do people lie? Why is it that people resort to lying instead of telling the truth? Well, for one, sometimes it's because they're trying to get something that they can't. So they think the best way to get that thing is through lying. For example, you apply to a job and you don't have the credentials, you don't have the proper education, you don't have the proper experience. So what do? You lie on your CV and you add extra material that doesn't really exist. You put places that you've worked at that you haven't really worked at to get that job. Some people lie to get a visa. They'll make up lies. For example, they'll say, I have this sort of amount of money in my bank account. Some people will lie to get income support. I heard that there are some people here in this community, they pretend to be crazy just so that they'll get another extra 100 pounds or 200 pounds just to get income support. He's willing to act crazy. Yani this gift, the most important gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they're willing to compromise it to say, I don't have this gift, just so that they give them 200 pounds. Isn't this a shame? People will lie to get something, to get a sort of benefit. Some people lie to get a position, to get somewhere, to get a political position. Some people lie to get to people, for marriage. Some boys, in order to get married, they lie to girls. Some girls, in order to get married, they lie to boys. They lie about their past. They lie about certain issues. They lie about the dowry. They make all sorts of lies.
That's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. Let us now ponder a wonderful aphorism from Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have mentioned in many traditions the value and the virtue and the merits of crying and the results that hopefully inshallah will be achieved by means of those tears. That hopefully those tears are a means and a vehicle towards perfection, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those tears rather do not just make us arrogant or ignorant or just keep us in a state of, you know, giving importance to a practice that is meant to be so much more. So in this we see that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has a tradition that mentions, you know, some of the reasons why tears for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are done or can be done for. And then also adds another type of crying. And this is a crying that is over the state and affairs of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the Shia. That we know even today in certain parts of the world, the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Shia, and the lovers of Imam al-Hussein are oppressed. They cannot hold the morning gatherings openly. They have to do so in hiding. There are some places in the world where a person cannot keep a turba, a mohar, a clay tablet that is prayed upon open, meaning that they cannot just put it on a particular place. It has to be hidden. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this tradition says that though he in whose eyes shed tears for our blood which has been shed or spilt, or that person who cries over the right that has been usurped from us or has been oppressively taken from us, or that person who cries for the humiliation meted out and the oppression that has been given to us or to one of our Shia. that the Shia, because of the love that they have for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, this person out of that love is humiliated, is oppressed, is demeaned. And because of that particular action, another person in a better state, or even in the same state, mourns and grieves and sheds tears over the state of this person. The Imam continues and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall accommodate him, that is the person who is crying and showing grief over these things that were mentioned, in paradise. And the Imam continues for a long time. Obviously, that second part is not necessary because paradise is eternal. Once a person enters, he cannot come out. This is one of the important discussions that is done in theology and in philosophy. This is not the place to go over it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who truly understand the concept of crying, and to make us of the true Shia of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Insha'Allah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Wa Alaikum Assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu Alaikum to you, dear audience of this program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. And then we are going to listen to him reciting some verses of the Holy Quran, preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Apart from these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic parts too. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi. Well, dear audience, we have talked about him before, but today I want to tell you the story of how he became famous. You know that Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi was born in 1920 in the city Minshat in Sohat Governorate, Egypt. Every member of his family had the mission of teaching, memorizing, and reciting the Holy Quran. His father was one of the famous reciters of Egypt, and his uncle, Ahmad al-Sayyid, was a famous reciter too. Muhammad Siddiq went to the maktab, meaning traditional school, at the age of 4. Then along with his uncle, he went to Cairo to learn the sciences of qara'ah, as well as other Quranic sciences. He learned the sciences of qara'ah from Sheikh Muhammad Mas'ud. Having witnessed Muhammad Siddiq's genius in recitation and Quranic sciences, Sheikh Mahmud Mas'ud took him to participate in Quranic gatherings. In this way, the voice of Muhammad Siddiq was made known to people until when he became 15, he would recite the Quran in ceremonies and night circles by himself and with more confidence. Now, dear audience, let's listen to Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi reciting Suratul Hashr, verses 22 to the end of this holy surah, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. He is Allah, besides whom none has the right to be worshipped, the all-knower of the imperceptible and the apparent. He is the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. He is Allah, besides whom none has the right to be worshipped, the King, the Holy, the one free from all defects, the giver of security, the watcher over his creatures, the Almighty, the Compeller, the Supreme. Glory be to Allah above all that they associate as partners with Him. He is Allah, the Creator, the Inventor of all things, the Bestower of forms. To Him belong the best names. All that is in the heavens and the earth glorify Him, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله هو الله الذي لا
صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Hashr, verses 22 to the end of this holy surah, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi has a very unique style of recitation. And many reciters who want to become reciters, good reciters, they follow his style of recitation. He has certain signature, we could say signature ways of reading certain verses. And even the isti'adha, the a'udhu billah, of Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi is unique for compared to other reciters. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Like this. It's like normally you would say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This is the normal way, but he changes. On the rajim, he applies a stress on that word. And many other places in the Quran, the verses of the Quran, he recites certain words in a special way.
As a signature of his recitation, as you said.
Yes, his style is unique. He begins with Maqam Bayati, which is Bayati Muhayyar. It's one of the Bayatis which are used. It's of the Bayati family. It's a subsidiary of Maqam Bayati. And Minshawi uses this maqam very much, just like Abdul Basit. Other reciters, such as Mustafa Ismail, and for example, Shahat, Kamil Yusuf, Mahmoud Al-Banna, they use this maqam in order to move from the low register to the second register, to the second octave. But Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi uses this maqam in every part of his recitation. And then he uses maqam Saba. He changes to maqam Saba. And one thing which is very noticeable in this recitation is that he uses the qira'a, actually the riwayah of Khalaf an Hamza, which is a unique way of reciting the Quran. It's different from Hafs, the famous way of reciting the Quran. The difference is that the sects are very noticeable. For example, he said, "Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul." See, this is la ilaha. This is sect. Sect means you make a pause for some time, and then you continue without taking a breath.
So the rules of tajweed are different.
Are a little different. They're not, you know, there's just some subtle differences.
Okay,
for example, this was, we just heard, everything else was the same, only the sect of the alif ul mad, when it is followed by a hamza.
So let's continue talking about tajweed points, if you agree.
Yeah, so the first time he recites the verse 22, he recites in Hafs an Asim. And he does Qasr of Maddul Munfasil. He doesn't say, Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha. He says, La ilaha, with only two vowel counts. Okay?
So this is allowed?
In Hafs, of course, it's allowed. This is not Hamza yet. This is Hafs. Okay?
Okay.
And he finishes the verse, and the second time he reads it in Khalaf on Hamza, which is basically the same. The rules of Tajweed are the same almost. Alimul Ghaibi wa Shahada. The Sheen has the longest timing because it's a letter of Rakhawa.
A weak fricative.
Yes. In the next verse, when he pronounced Al-Jabbar, the correct way of pronouncing Ba with Tashdeed is that we should not hear a complete sect. If you say Al-Jabbar, that's incorrect. The way Sheikh Minshawi applied the tashdid, he said Al-Jabbar. He did not, you know, cut the airflow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You see? And also Mutakabbir. See, while pronouncing the ba with tashdid, you still hear some sound of the ba.
And a final point?
And the last verse, he again, he recited in Hafsan Asim, the famous way of reciting the Quran. And that because he said, wal ard. He did not do sect.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid, millat Iran, millat mojza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Merciful, the Most Compassionate. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World and is Still Changing It. And of course, I'm referring to Imam Khomeini, this holy personality who really has changed the world forever. In the last program, I was discussing with our guest, Dr. Hassani. And before I proceed to summarize what we discussed before, I'd like to welcome once again Dr. Hassani, who is an academic and also a researcher in Islamic research. And I give him a very warm welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you for having me.
I discussed with Dr. Hassani, and the question was that how do we study a personality like Imam Khomeini? What's the approach? And we certainly discussed in the last session that the approach has to be not only in terms of context, but also in terms of claim. And this is what we were really getting down to, is that there is many claims that are made by many people in the world. There's a lot of claims made by the American president, and a lot of claims made by certain ideologies about the utopia which they want to create in any particular nation or in any particular time. But of course, they never live up to expectation. But Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was much more than expectation. It was really a miracle. And that's what we're really getting down to, is that how did this miracle actually occur, both in the context of what Iran was in the early part of the 20th century. Of course, in the later half of the 20th century, we saw dramatic changes in the world. But we want to look into that analysis by the fact of the impact of what Imam Khomeini actually made on the whole world. And as we say, it is about claims. Now, I'd like to start today's discussion with Dr. Hassani on the basis that it says in the Holy Quran that why do you people make claims that they never... God says to us that why do you make claims that you never live up to? And yet, there were claims in the past in terms of the monarchy that was there in Iran, where certain kings became shadows of God as claims. And how ridiculous was that? Tell us, Dr. Hussain, put that into some kind of context, that if that was the system by which people had to live, what were we going to expect, especially on the basis of Tawheed, when we are supposed to be, say, Laysa Kamithli Shay, that God is nothing like his creation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, my answer to you in one word, hallucinating.
Right, they were hallucinating.
When you think you're big.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the characteristic for...
just simply came out of vanity.
I'll give it to you. The way Quran is teaching us, the Satan went wrong. Why? Because he thought he was big.
Yeah, he became
and this
conceited.
Is the whole, he was deceived, and he tried to deceive everybody else in between.
Yeah.
The thing is this.
He was full of himself.
Of course he was. And this is an enlightened note. If you get into that, he was something more than you could expect, because he was challenging his own creator in a negative sense.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
We might get
because,
into that.
Because he had become proud.
Exactly. The thing is this. If you're not big, according to according to the definition, how can you become big? Let me give you an example. In mathematics, what is the value of zero?
Zero.
Zero.
Nothing.
Zip.
Zip.
Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
But if you put a zero after a one, what happens?
Becomes 10.
Becomes 10.
Yeah.
10 times.
Times.
You can't say 10 times bigger.
No.
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 You see?
No, you can't do that. That doesn't work in math.
Think about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no matter what kind of number in math, you know, multiplied by zero is zero.
Zero.
But when you put a zero next to a one.
One.
It becomes 10. And if you put two zeros,
it's 100.
100. And the story goes on.
But the one is very important.
And that one is the oneness that the Tawhid we're talking about.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
So Satan, just like everybody else, just like everything else.
Was
let's
zero.
Let's start simple here. He was zero.
He was zero.
And he will stay zero if he did not seek a place
with the one.
When we are escaping from devil's trick, we are told to say, I seek refuge in God.
God.
From
in
Satan.
The one.
In the one.
In the one.
And one is one, no matter what. One is the creator. Okay?
Mashallah. Yes, that's absolutely right.
So, the thing is this, the arrogance, and this goes with politics today, we might
absolutely.
Get to that, we should.
Yeah, we should.
Satan was nothing. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to look for greatness, bigness, which could give him all the respect, all the reward he could not even
imagine,
possibly imagine. Yeah. He didn't. He went astray. He went out of the way, out of order, which is the law, the do's and don'ts of what Creator put in place.
Sure.
He didn't. So he wasn't big, but he pretended. Okay?
Yes.
This is the word istikbar. Istikbar, you know, the whole claim is this, Brother Ejaz. I might, you know, I'm not trying to jump from here and there, but
no.
It's so many beautiful and different subjects attaching with the life of Imam Khomeini.
Exactly.
May his holy soul rest in peace.
Peace, yes.
It's so many different things that sometimes you feel, you know, you get so excited.
Yeah.
You want to say the whole thing in one session.
In one breath,
impossible.
But that's not possible. But that's what I was saying in the previous program. I was saying about the fact that this is the extraordinary thing about Imam Khomeini, because this is what we're really talking about, is the fact that he's multidimensional. He's not a one-dimensional man. So that's what we're saying. And what makes him that multidimensional man? Because, as you say, there was a claim right in the dawn of time, or before the dawn of time, I should say, because we are really into the realms of the Creator here. But at that particular moment, this zero, as you said, had a big claim, but was proved to be zero at the end of the day once it was found out that he had got too big for his shoes and couldn't live up to what he was. So at the end of the day, that's what we're saying, that isn't that the sad history? Isn't that the misfortune that the Muslim world has been going through?
Exactly.
That we've had people who, as you say, like Satan, came up with big claims out of vanity, out of pride, and so was the Shah.
Out of emptiness.
Out of emptiness. Made a lot of noise, but at the end of the day...
To finish the point about Satan, Brother Ijaz, is this. It's to say this. Mm. He was nothing, but he wanted to be somebody big.
Yeah, that he wanted it.
This is why the word istikbar. Istikbar means trying so hard to look
the part.
To look big.
Yeah.
To look great.
To look the role.
And you know what? Okay, at this point, I should say this. Mm. You know what the biggest claim of Imam Khomeini was? The claim shaped into the slogan of what we know as Allahu Akbar.
Yes.
God is great.
That is the claim.
When God is great, you are nothing. When you are attached with what he wants you to be, where he wants you to be, how he wants you to be, then you become big. And nobody can deal with you.
Exactly.
That's why Imam Khomeini says America cannot do a damn thing.
Because he's attached to the greatest
and
of all.
At this point, it wasn't a slogan. It wasn't a claim.
No, that is a reality.
And that wasn't a claim. That was a reality.
That is a
reality.
That
was a mere fact. Mm. As we speak. Mm. See?
Yeah.
You have to distinguish as we go along.
Sure.
As we proceed to talk about that great personality, so from the claim comes something that people think is claim, but it's not.
No.
It is a slogan. It's a motto.
Exactly.
So but that's the whole thing. He lived according to his belief.
Exactly.
He wasn't.
And claimed. The belief comes straight out of the Quran.
Exactly. So and the power comes from that.
Yeah. So tell us from the Quran in terms of these claims, which, as you see, the attachment is with Allahu Akbar, and that's how the revolution started. Mm-hmm. That was the shouting on the streets.
And you know the deeper explanation of the slogan Allahu Akbar. The mere translation is God is great, which is true.
True.
But they ask Ma'asum, what does it mean?
Mean? Yes, please.
He said something to the fact that Allah is greater than whatever you can imagine.
Imagine.
That's a belief.
That is something.
Brother,
else.
The phenomenon, the issue of belief is a very serious one.
And Imam Khomeini proved it.
And Imam Khomeini proved that he was pro this ideology.
Exactly.
He didn't just say it. The difference between ordinary people like myself with Imam is this. Whatever he said, he didn't say it, you know.
He acted it.
He didn't say it for something to sound good.
Yeah.
To attract population.
Yeah.
He meant it. He believed it. He lived. He lived according to his belief. So this is the difference.
Yeah,
and you see the end result. Mm. Another thing, you have a criteria, a good check and balance system you can tell by the end result. You asked me something about communism in the previous program.
Yeah.
But you see, after the demise, the collapse of Soviet Union, what happened? Somebody might ask.
Yeah.
What happened? It was that zero. But during the course of history, time, another thing with people, you know, ordinary people.
Sure.
Who don't stick to Quranic teaching, a deep understanding of Islam.
Yes.
What Islam wants to make out of you. This is very important.
Yes.
Those who used to see the military parade in the Red Square with all how many great numbers of tanks. And machineries and troops and cannons and this and that.
Missiles, yes. Ballistic missiles.
Every year, the whole thing was a different show.
Show,
okay?
Yeah.
Showmanship. People who saw that, they thought this material, this so-called power, this is not the real power. These so-called things could help whoever the regime might be. Mm. But we saw the end result. It didn't help.
Happened at all.
You see? This is what we're talking about. You talk about religious in a true sense. You talk about God commands in a true sense, do's and don'ts. The entire life of human being could be shaped, put on the right track, okay?
Sure.
If he listens to his own creator. By the way, I gave you this example in the last program.
Sure.
Only Sony can write a manual for its own product, not Sanyo.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? And God is the only one who can write this manual, and he did.
Mm.
The perfect one, which is Quran, through his prophets. And the story goes on with Imam Khomeini.
Yeah.
When he said that America cannot do anything, this was not a claim. This was a fact.
Yeah.
Claim is to a certain point. When you get on the right track, you just continue to march. And you don't even look you don't look behind yourself.
That's right. And the other...
Because you believe in it. This is a straight path.
As you say, the claim was very great at the beginning of the revolution, but it was also the claim that Islam made right from the outset.
And you know the reason for claim? To call on people.
To call on people.
This is a divine duty.
Yeah. As you say, this claim is a reality in terms of calling people, that God is great, Allahu Akbar. And then we had in this particular context, because of course Islam has to answer to every century.
Right.
And
you know, one of the famous saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, at the beginning of Islam, at the beginning of invitation, he said, Qulu, all of you say, he didn't say, Muslims say this.
No, he said, all of you say.
All of it, see? For the entire globe. Hmm. La ilaha illallah. There is there is no God. But him.
Hmm.
What happens? Tuflahu. The salvation is yours. As simple as that. So can you imagine one person?
Hmm.
By the way, prophets, apostles, messengers of Allah did not see themselves as one.
No.
They saw themselves as that zero we were talking about.
Exactly. And I'm just saying that, you know, when they say, as Imam Khomeini, this great personality, put those words back on our lips again, reminding us. And this is the thing about Quran, isn't it? You go through its chapters and you're told, remember.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah. Before you do, Doctor, just to let me finish this point, where he says that he's pointing out not the fact that, as I say, in terms of numbers, that there's no other God, that we are counting a whole range of gods. That's not what we're talking about. He's just saying that this is the only reality. And that's why this next slogan that came up in the revolution was, neither east nor west. You know?
Exactly. So,
we're not talking about
this
points
of
exactly a compass.
This is exactly like Prophet says.
Yeah.
Just say there is no God but Allah.
Yeah.
No east, no west. Mm. The story is this. You know, every ideology has an enemy. This is natural.
That's true.
Okay?
True.
And the ideology behind the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran is Islam. This is a fact.
Fact.
Some people don't like it. We're not going to get into the reason.
No.
I mean, this is natural.
That is natural.
There is not even one single government on this planet that the entire globe is agree with them.
Yeah.
Having said that,
sure.
Naturally, we have enemies. But the funny thing I'm going to refer to, you're going to get the punchline in a second.
Sure.
The thing is this. Back in a couple of years ago, during the disturbance, the least you can say, the fitna of 88, they used to use the same tool that revolutionary did against Shah, reciting the slogan of Allahu Akbar, but it backfired. A couple days ago, I saw in media that we don't believe in Allahu Akbar. Why you said it? It backfired on us. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I make the whole story short. This Allahu Akbar, this God is great, is not from the same gender.
No.
From the same nature. It's
not. No.
So you have to believe.